listening Dog Media. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to The Offside Rule. I'm Kate Borsay, and alongside me, as ever, Premier League and Sky Sports WSL reporter Lindsay Hooper. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
And Super Sky Sports News anchor, it's Hayley McQueen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along.
Hello. What's men's international break this week and next week? Some big games in the WSL this weekend as well. How's our football week been so far, ladies? Lindsay, what about you?
I'm fresh from King's Meadow from watching Chelsea women in the Champions League against Wolfsburg, a team that they tend to come up against on a frequent basis. That was a fifth meeting between them in the UEFA Women's Champions League. And wow, what a match. Six goals, 3-3.
It was a bit of a hairy affair, wasn't it? Yeah, certainly. Hayley, how about you? Your daughter was two this week, so there's been a big birthday in the McQueen household.
There was. So I woke up with a bit of a sore head on Monday, but thankfully I sent her straight to nursery whilst I nursed my hangover. But yeah, it was lots of fun.
Hang on, it's her birthday. Mm-hmm, she's turned two and you've got a hangover.
Yeah, we had an adult's party. We had one child who popped in for an hour towards the end. I figured it's the last time I'll be able to get away with anything like that. So yeah, I had the parents down. We had a few neighbours pop in. It was fairly quiet, but whilst I had started getting the food and nibbles out, I made sure there was a bottle of Prosecco on the go, and soon followed many more.
Well, that is just exactly the way to do it. It's not about the child, these young birthdays, you know. It's absolutely about how much the adults can stack away. And it's normally a daytime affair, of course, to make it a lot more respectable. All right, ladies, well, coming up on the show, we're going to pick some of the England under 21 players that have been catching our eye. We've seen, haven't we, plenty of them in action in the EFL Trophy if they're playing with an under 21 side, or the Carabao Cup as well. So we'll be taking a look at which England under 21 players we like the look of. It was the debut of the Women's Champions League group stages on DAZN, big new broadcasting deal. What's changed this year? Are we impressed? Aren't we? What do we like? What don't we like? That's coming up as well. And we're also going to be looking at some of the weird and wonderful things that footballers have got personalised. This is after being inspired by the Ronaldo shin pads. That's coming up later on. First, let's look at those young lions making a name for themselves. Well, it's been a week of under 21 matches with Premier League under 21 sides in action in the EFL Trophy, and also England's under 21s playing their European qualifiers for the 2023 European Championship, games against Slovenia and Andorra coming up. But I'd like to know some of the English under 21 players to watch. Someone who's caught your eye, maybe, can be in the England squad or just impressed in a Premier League side. There's so much talent to choose from, actually. It's brilliant. Lynns, do you want to start us off with someone you like the look of?
I am here ready to wax lyrical about Tino Livramento at Southampton. And any Saints fans listening will be well aware of this 18-year-old's talent. He got an England under-21 call-up this week. He's a regular in Southampton's first team, but of course his roots are with Chelsea. He's a product of their academy, decided in the summer that he wanted to get regular first-team football, and it's done wonders for him. He's said himself that he thinks his career's progressed much quicker by making a move away. He's played 7 games for Southampton, and he's secured that right wing-back position already. And to give that some context, he's just the 10th player aged 18 or under to play the first 7 matches of a Premier League season. So the sort of company he's keeping, I think, gives us an indication of where he might be heading with his career, because he's joined Ryan Giggs, Michael Owen, Rio Ferdinand, Gareth Barry, Sol Campbell in that list. There is a £25 million buyback clause as well from Chelsea, so clearly they think he could do something, and then we want to have the option to get him back to Chelsea. I mean, I suppose from early doors and watching him this season, he's come up against Richarlison, Pogba, Grealish, Benrahma. And although Southampton haven't had the best start to a season, anyone who plays Fantasy Premier League will know that Tino Livramento has got quite a few points on the board. And I think he's certainly one for us to keep an eye on.
I'll chip in with a young Leeds player who's been called up actually into the under-21 squad for those Euro games against Slovenia and Andorra this week. He's actually a regular part of the under-20s squad, but he warrants his promotion. Joe Gellert is the player. He is a striker, and, well, his record is absolutely awesome. He's been drafted into the under-21s because of injury, but he's quickly flying through the ranks. Moved to Leeds in summer 2020 following their promotion to the top flight, but his first team opportunities have been limited. Where he's been really exciting to watch is in the in Premier League 2. 2 goals and bagged an assist in Leeds under-23's 4-0 victory over Liverpool in September. That's where he sprung to my attention. Not just any goals, by the way. 35-yard thunderbolt and a 50-yard chip. Add to that hat-trick in his England under-20s debut last month as well. And the 6 goals in 6 games in the Premier League 2 so far this season. You can understand why he's so hotly tipped. He's been compared to a prime Wayne Rooney. I don't know if he's happy with that or not. As I said, he made his first team debut for Leeds in the Carabao Cup win at Fulham. It went to penalties and he stepped up and scored. So even at his young age, cool and confident, stepped up and scored one of the pens to send Leeds through. So he's my pick, Joe Gellert.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about Cameron Archer, who plays for Aston Villa. I think he's going to be someone we're going to see playing for the under-21s, potentially selected for England in the future if he continues on this great run that he's on right now. It's his second match ball of the season after getting another hat-trick. This was in the Papa John's Trophy. Goodness me, he was applauded off the pitch by Dean Smith, who's desperately going to be trying to make sure they keep him at the club because his contract runs out next summer. And yeah, all the other coaching staff, Shakespeare, Danks, Lange in the stands, all stood up and gave him a standing ovation and yeah, applauded him off the pitch. Now, this isn't just any old hat trick. This is his second hat trick, as I mentioned, and he's also scored as well against Chelsea. He's had quite the rise, really, and he's been very consistent. So he scored a hat trick in August. Those were his first senior goals for the club. That was against Barrow. That was in the second round of the EFL Cup. He scored against Chelsea in the third round of the EFL Cup. Do you remember? It was a 1-1 draw. Yes, Chelsea won on penalties, but he still scored against Chelsea. Then he made his Premier League debut. Okay, he only played for a few minutes at the end of the game, but it was a 1-0 victory over Manchester United and has now scored another hat-trick as well. The reason I like this kid is because we share the same birthday. We might just be a few decades apart. Old enough to be his mother, but born on the 9th of December. He's 19 years old. He's been at Aston Villa for his whole career. Yep, since 2007, since he was
a youngster.
You
really are, though. You really are old enough to be his mum, aren't you?
I know. Yeah, I really am.
As we all would be.
It's quite depressing. Yeah, so he's definitely one I think we're going to see lots more of, and I think he's going to be a regular in the Villa first team, maybe towards the end of the season if called upon. Yeah, snap him up, keep him at the club.
I don't know about you guys, but it's been so actually heartwarming to start to go through some of the records, some of these players who've caught your eye, and then you drill down on what they've been doing and exactly what they've achieved. And it just makes you feel, without being too kind of England all the way, it does make you feel really, really encouraged. Also, the fact that Gareth Southgate will offer opportunities to these young players as well. Who else has got another one?
Yeah. 8 goals in 4 games. We could do with a player like that right now for the senior team, couldn't we?
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. Mm. 6 goals in 6 games for Joe Geller. I mean, you just... it is fantastic. And anyone else got another player to offer up?
The players that we've mentioned aren't necessarily in everyone's consciousness yet. But an under 21 player that I do want to mention, Kate, is someone who I think is destined for the very top. And that's Fikayo Tomori. We know what he did at Chelsea. He's now in Italy doing so well. And I just see him being a regular senior player for England. I can't see anything else because he is showing exactly what he's made of. And the academy at Chelsea, it just produces time after time these amazing players. Yeah. But we often talk about the creative ones, don't we? And it's really nice to be able to talk about a defender. And I think he will be a mainstay.
Well, it's also good to see a player go abroad and do equally well as well. And I think that is a real testament to him, and hopefully a real testament to the academy system and to English football as well. I picked out a pair, actually. When I was doing some research, I was having a look at what was going on in Premier League 2, PL2, and I picked out a pair of Manchester City under 21 players purely for the fact that their combination, I mean, look, I guess it's probably unlikely that they will make it through to the first team, but their combination, their attacking duo, has produced some amazing, amazing results so far. Both are 18. James McAtee, he's an attacking mid. He's 18. Oscar Bob, same age, Norwegian player. He's a right winger.
I like that name.
Yeah, Oscar Bob.
Oscar Bob.
James McAtee, in 7 PL2 games, he's scored 10 goals and got 3 assists. 6 of those goals were assisted by Oscar Bob. So if you look at those figures, 6 goals together they have managed to combine for. Amazing stuff. James McAtee actually made his senior debut in the Carabao Cup for City against Wickham. And he tells this story about being there and sort of, you know, he's obviously dying to get his first team start and he's on the bench. And then Guardiola calls him over and says, "Can you play here?" Okay, so this is an attacking mid, points at left back, and he's like, "Yes, I'll play anywhere." And on he goes. It was late on in the game, but I just love the fact that he was just like, literally, I'll play any position. Yes, I can play
there. Like
Darren
Cuthbert.
Absolutely, I can. on he went for his senior debut. So yeah, loved that. Who else has got what else?
I want to tell you about Scotland's under 21 player, Nathan Patterson. He made his debut when he was only 18. He got an assist in 3 under 21 matches in a row. He's a right back. He plays at Rangers. He's a player that's really exciting Steven Gerrard at the moment. And I think he's trying to stop him from potentially moving elsewhere. He's trying not to big him up too much, but already Man United are keen to sign him. Everton look like they're in there as well. It looks like he's going to be providing a bit of competition for right back Aaron Wan-Bissaka. That's according to a lot of reports. Apparently, there's more than a dozen teams across Europe who've showed a lot of interest in him. Like I say, he's only 19. He plays for the under 21s and he has represented Scotland at all levels. Just hasn't obviously broken into the first team yet because he's just a young man. But yeah, I think if Everton or Man United snap up this player, I think they're going to get an absolute bargain. So they're putting a £10 million price tag on him. And I think for future Scottish players to help the national team, I'd love to see more Scottish players who are representing their country playing for the big, big clubs. Yes, obviously Rangers is a big club, but at least we're not losing him to sort of your Dundees and maybe even your Aberdeens. Sorry, fans, but coming down and playing in the Premier League here where you're up against the best of the best every single week. So he's definitely one to keep an
you're
eye on.
You're going to fall out sorry, with all the Scottish fans.
Sorry, Scottish Premiership.
You're never going to be able to go up there again.
Yeah, I'm not. It's fine. Don't worry about
Banish
it.
Yourself.
Sorry, everyone.
Banish yourself. Yeah, I'm just cancelling Hayley's flights to Scotland now. She won't be able to enter for a while. All right, let's move on to the new look Women's Champions League. All All right, well, the Women's Champions League returned this week with the group stage phase of the competition for the very first time. 16 teams are taking part, and all of it is being streamed for free in a groundbreaking broadcast deal with DAZN. There are some big results in the first week of group stage action as well. I'd like some takeaways. What did you think of the way DAZN treated their coverage? Can anyone beat Barcelona at all, ever? Arda Hegerberg returned, of course, after being out for 21 months playing for Lyon. So give me something that caught your eye. Hayley, you go first.
Okay, I'll tell you what caught everyone's eye in Turin was this great Queens of Football campaign.
Yeah.
So some of the top players immortalised in art, building up, of course, to the final, which is going to be in Turin. It's brilliant. This was UEFA who commissioned this squad of females and sort of projected it and made artwork onto the front of this very, very impressive building. So ahead of the action kicking off, some of the biggest names in European football were plastered across the Turin Palace to celebrate. Of course, it's a new 16-team group stage centrepiece. But yeah, I think it's absolutely brilliant. They've quadrupled the tournament prize money as well to 24 million euros. I think DAZN did a really good job of covering it. The only problem was I put it on a big screen, and because the quality is not amazing, it was good. Don't get me wrong.
Didn't it like it very much?
No, it pixelated and it cut out a few times. I actually watched Barcelona Arsenal with Laura Bassett in the studios at Sky, and I made sure it was on like the biggest TV that we had, one of our monitors in the studio, and it had pixelated a little bit. Obviously, you could still make everything out and it was fine, but it was a little bit pre-HD. But I think they still did an excellent job of making sure that we could all at least watch the game and watched all the games as well.
Yeah, I loved the fact that there was regional coverage as well. So I watched all of the Barcelona-Arsenal game. Barcelona, of course, absolutely awesome in that one. But what I loved was that you could go on to DAZN's YouTube page and basically choose, you know, a language suitable to you, which I thought was brilliant, making bespoke, you know, feeds for different regions. And I loved the halftime. You probably didn't see this, Hayley, because you would have been on air, but the We All Rise films at halftime. So, you know, usually at halftime, you get a bit of punditry, you get loads of adverts like soft drinks, blah, 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 you know, loads of really quite blatant advertising. And in halftime, certainly for the Arsenal game, we got the We All Rise films. So they are, you know, again, kind of local films. So they feature not sort of superstars, but people who are making a difference in women's football. I presume that they're locally skewed. So this was episode one, London. But I just thought, goodness me, if they've made these films, they were really, really well done, really well shot. Nothing basic about them, just really, really well done. The London one featured Lucy Monkman from Dulwich Hamlet FC, Katie Hui, who's the founder of Hackney Laces, the former Arsenal women manager Vic Akers. So they'd really gone and interviewed really interesting people to talk about the rise of women's football. And I thought that was just so well done. I actually really, really liked that. I thought it was kind of a really interesting half time for me to watch, partly because I was dreading having to go back and watch Arsenal succumb some more to Barcelona.
Oh gosh, I mean, it was absolutely dominant. They were relentless. It was, yeah, unfortunately, a thrashing for Arsenal. And I was just really surprised, obviously, seeing Arsenal doing so well. And you've got Beth Mead and Miedema and McCabe all taken off quite early in the second half. And I guess the one thing that they could take, one consolation, is they're not going to be bottom of Group C. There was actually a worse result with Hoffenheim beating Colgate. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it. So at least that's one thing Arsenal can take from it. And actually, they did play much better football in the second half. But I just couldn't believe how defensively excellent that Barcelona were, but yet managed to be so threatening in attack. They had 35 shots.
Yeah, 14 on target, by the way, for that.
I mean,
they're just so impressive.
Earth.
It explains as well why Jonas did take off those three players, because he knew that he wasn't going to get any points from
anything.
This. There wasn't going to be a comeback like there was in the Chelsea game against Wolfsburg. He knew that it was done. And he also clearly, I think, by that move has indicated that the WSL title is something that's very important to him this season.
However, it's good for Arsenal, surely, to play Barcelona at this stage. Surely that is one of the best, as long as they still qualify through. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he went away afterwards, didn't he, and said that they can learn from that experience of playing them and the way that they play and the way that they possess the ball. And wow, it did feel like it was another level. And that really at the moment sums up where we are in England, because Arsenal and Chelsea are our best teams. And I think Barcelona are a level above at the minute, and that needs to be addressed. But they have got the group stages to try and get into a rhythm and the rest of the season to play this out. One thing I'd say is, from speaking to the managers, they are all a big fan of the format changes. They think that it makes it much more exciting for fans watching. Mm-hmm, yeah. Also getting rid of the away goal rule as well. I think people think, you know, if you beat a team on the day, that's what it's all about. It doesn't come down to these other factors. Mm. And you know, I think the stories from around Europe, Ada Hegerberg returning after her injury as well. It was great to see her playing. And one that I picked out was Ines Sabayang, who featured for Servette at the age of 15. I mean, can you imagine playing in the Champions League age 15 years old?
How was King's Meadow? So obviously we've been talking about the broadcast deal with DAZN, but you went to one of the live games at Chelsea entertaining Wolfsburg. I mean, silly mistakes in terms of what led to Chelsea's goals, but what was the sort of general feeling there, Linz?
Chelsea were unlucky not to win it because they were so dominant. The first 17 minutes up until the goal for Wolfsburg, it was all Chelsea, and it was attack after attack, free-flowing moves, everyone seeming to be on the right page, but they didn't make a breakthrough. The very first attack, let alone shot on target, resulted in Wolfsburg scoring, and it was from an error. And I think the disappointing thing for Emma Hayes is that every one of those goals came from errors, were preventable. And it just means that you have to work that much harder and tirelessly to try and get something out of the match. Now, Chelsea managed to do that. I think in the end, they will be happy with a point and rescuing it from 3-1 down. But they should have been winning this game. There's no question about that. It will give them something to go and reflect on and work on further. It's difficult though, because you see the way that they're trying to play at times, and it is majestic, but it isn't the continued majesticness that we see when we're watching Barcelona at the moment. They can't maintain it.
Yeah, I guess it's also interesting that Chelsea swept aside Wolfsburg so easily last season. But, you know, again, this is the stage where you want the upset. You sort of want to be reminded of the mistakes sometimes so that you can, you know, move on and move forward. You obviously enjoyed the game, Linz, but I'm intrigued to know there would have been a lot of German reporters down there, presumably German German people to speak to. How did you get on?
Sprechen die Deutsch?
Nein, I presume.
Yeah, bitte. I did it at GCSE level, which is clearly not good enough to do post-match interviews in. We did have German speakers. Thankfully, they understood my questions in English and then just did their answers in German. But thank you to Tony, the floor manager on this occasion, who does speak German and managed to translate the answers for me, which was a stroke of luck, I think, for that one.
Well, I would like to have seen it. This is a situation where Lindsay thinks she did brilliantly, but actually everyone was laughing. But no, I don't mean that really.
Good on you for even attempting it, because my other half is German, so are all of his family, and I can only count in German. That's as far as it goes. And say Bauchnaben, because that's belly button, and my little girl is obsessed with her belly button.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, well, let's wrap up there on the Women's Champions League and move forward to some personalisation. Well, we've seen a big trend for personalised shin pads in the Premier League, haven't we? Cristiano Ronaldo had a pair with his face on. What else? His best asset, of course, just to remind himself who he is. Brentford's Sergi Canos went on Twitter to try and recover his personalised pair, which had been handed out by a steward after his side's 3-3 draw with Liverpool. So what other sentimental, weird and wonderful personalised items have footballers had over the years? There's probably a rich selection to choose from. Hayley, what have you found?
Well, on the theme of shin pads, it's quite funny, actually. John Terry, believe it or not, he said he's had about 50 superstitions, including sitting in the same place on the team bus, listening to the same Usher album, parking in the same spot in the car park. But on the shin pad theme, he said he had a lucky pair of shin pads he wore for 10 seasons.
Oh, what, the same
now,
ones?
That is pretty gross.
Woo, that is a whiffed.
The actual same pair.
Do you think he put Febreze on them and made them smell even worse?
Oh, God. And I, like, surely if you've got whacked or bashed in the shin pads, they would become a little bit cracked or worn. For safety reasons, you'd have to, like, change them up. Very strange.
Lindsay, what have you discovered?
Number plates. That was the first world that I dived into here, because I thought footballers' number plates, which ones are out there? I found that there was one for Diego Costa, COXSTA. You put all that together, it looks like Costa,
doesn't it?
But nothing, even financially, beats Pogba's, which sold at an auction for £23,000. I presume that his people bid for that and ended up getting it for him, because who else wants POG8A?
But, you know, people are funny like that. Super fans are funny like that. They like everything. I was just thinking, actually, if you're a super fan, maybe £23,000 isn't that much to pay for you. I don't know. I think it's bonkers. Talk about number plates and, football shin pads, etc. But how about a personalised Mercedes helicopter? That's what Brazil superstar Neymar has got. 10 million quid is the apparent price tag. It's an H145 model. No, you've lost me there. But what I do know is that Mercedes basically personalised it for him. It was inspired by themes of Batman's Batmobile, because apparently he's a big fan of DC Comics. And it's got his initials, NJR, standing for Neymar Jr., painted onto the wing or onto something to do with it. I'm not very literate when it comes to helicopters. So there you go. Neymar has his own personalised Mercedes helicopter. There was a picture of him actually over in Brazil with it just sat in his garden. It was just sort of posing in front of it. But, you know, as you do. There we go.
Do we say garden or do we say...
Oh, I don't know. Probably plot.
Forest.
Plot is probably. I mean, it looked immaculate. The grass looked immaculate, by the way. So it was clearly tended to very, very affectionately. Anyway, who else has something different?
How great would it be to have your own helicopter? You could just go anywhere, do anything at any time.
A little bit expensive, though.
Just fly over the traffic. Yeah. What about when... Daniel De Rossi used to wear one long sleeve and one short sleeve. Do you ever remember that? He had special vests, under vests made up because they wouldn't do the kit for him. He just used to have to roll it up. Some people said it was to cover up some bad tattoo on one of his arm, potentially a previous partner's name was on there.
Just wear both long sleeves then, surely.
Apparently it was to emulate gladiators of the past, real life gladiators, when they used to wear... sort of one sleeve up and one down. Yeah. He was interviewed just a couple of seasons ago and someone said, why don't you have one long sleeve and one short sleeve at this tournament? This was obviously during 2006 after he'd, worn the shirt down, shirt up sleeve type thing in 2012 World Cup. He just said, I just stopped doing that. It's just nonsense. It started and I couldn't stop myself. You know, he was saying he got a little bit paranoid about it and thought if I ever changed it, like anything, if you change something up, it's gonna be bad luck. He said, then as soon as people started copying it, I didn't want to do it anymore.
Fair enough. There we go. Obviously likes to set a trend. Alexandra Lacassette has got, I mean, personalised football boots are not a new thing. We could probably go down a huge rabbit hole here, couldn't we? But he's got some rather special personalised ones. They've got pictures basically showing his goal celebrations. It's not him pictured on these special football boots doing the goal celebration. It's a pair of minions. Yes. Bizarre and a little bit creepy. So he's got these boots. I don't know where the boots are from. They were made by a special personalization
company. Hang on. You're saying that's creepy. What do we find creepy?
No,
people wearing their own faces on shin pads
or
minions on their boots.
It's just a bit odd. I mean, I don't know whether I'd take a player seriously if they came out with like My Little Ponies doing their goal celebrations on their boots or something. But
I'd love that.
That's what.
Maybe it's for his children. Has he got children?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
Beckham's got a tattoo of a minion on him, didn't he? Because his daughter Harper was obsessed with them and said she wanted him to get a tattoo. So
I suppose
because it's his only daughter, he's like, "Yep, okay, fine."
Madness. Utter madness.
Oh, Hayley, you've guided me here beautifully. I'm so pleased you mentioned Beckham. Like, we know that most footballers, certainly of his stature, have trademarked their name, right? We know CR7, Lionel Messi's done it, Beckham's definitely done it. I think Beckham's got so many trademarks. But this story, I loved. It made me smile so much. Although I do feel sorry for this businessman in Kent that tried to make a few bucks. But you might remember back in the day, Walker's Crisps had this habit of changing the flavours. So they had...
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? Yes. They had salt and Lineker. And they had cheese and Owen with Michael Owen. And this man in Kent thought, I can see what's coming here. And he tried to trademark Smokey Beckham. But David Beckham got in there first and he trademarked it. He saw what might be coming and he stopped this businessman in Kent from having Smokey Beckham trademarked.
Poor guy, never mind. Sweet.
And we never got to eat Smokey Beckham, from what
Beckham
I can remember.
Beckham just blocked his Smokey Beckhams. I mean, unless they did make an appearance, let us know, please, at Offside Rule Pod.
And crisps are my favourite food, so now I'm wanting a bag.
Which flavour? Which flavour?
Oh, probably cheese and onion.
Cheese and Owen.
Which brand? Cheese and Owen? Any particular brand? Any brand?
Oh, yeah, I do really like kettle chips. I love salt and vinegar in those as well.
But I love cider vinegar. It's delicious.
Yeah. It's tart, isn't it? It's like, ouch. Anyway, enough of the crisp chat. Let's move on to any other business. So any other business, the small stories that have gone under the radar that... our listeners may not be aware of. Who wants to get us started with this? What have you found this week?
Well, thanks to Aidan Linning, who messaged all of us on Twitter, because we quite often used to find some of the quirkier stories in the Highlands of Scotland. And he said, you haven't had Highland League news in quite a while. Basically, check this out. This week, they used a cement mixer for their cup drawer. And I was like, oh, it's just something that looks like a cement mixer. No, it actually is a cement mixer. And the sponsors of their cup are a building merchants, basically. And they're stood in front of this sort of big, I'm just watching the video now. They're just stood in front of this kind of big advertising boarding saying, you know, decorating and plastering, tools, timber and joinery. And they're doing their cup drawer with a huge cement mixer, which is brilliant and funny and quirky and so very Scottish Highlands.
I love that. I love that indeed. Well, I've got a bit of a slap on the wrist for Mark Clattenburg, the former Premier League referee. He was on Talk Sport last week and essentially said that women have to choose between refereeing and having children. So I'm sure this came out clumsily, but it wasn't a good look, especially with two mums on the podcast as well. We don't authorise this. And also a doggy mum in Lindsay Hooper. He mentioned, you know, they've got assistant referee Sian Massey in the Premier League. They've got a female referee in the Football League, Rebecca Welsh. So he's saying, look, it's great. There are women coming into the men's game and that's great. But he says the problem with women is, and certainly in refereeing, certainly in football, they have a difficult path where if they get pregnant during their refereeing career, it can stop them a long way. So you'd think, OK, well, perhaps he's saying, perhaps he's sort of calling out and saying, look, it needs to be better. But then he just blankly says they've got to make this choice. Do they want to be pregnant and have children, or do they want to be referees? That's the kind of unhelpful stuff we're not here for, Clattenburg. Thank you very much.
Anything that starts a sentence with the problem with women is. I think generalisation there as well. I think the thing that we need to point out to Mark Clattenburg is that we are all individuals. And when he casts that aspersion, because I know you, Kate, that, you know, it takes 2 to 3 years out of a woman's life, every woman is different. Some women will choose to want to have 5 years with their child because they want to see them into nursery or school or whatever that might be. Some might have a few months, aka Kate Borsay. And I know that you returned to work very, very quickly.
Yeah, but everyone is different. But I was able to do that because I had a job where I was able to do that. Fair enough if he's calling out refereeing and saying it needs to be more supportive of women. But when he's saying that they've got a choice either or, that's just ridiculous because we've got refs in the game to prove that if you look elsewhere around the world. Anyway, be quiet, please, Mark Clattenburg. I do want to mention as well, actually, it's a big story that's the result of an investigation by Meg Linehan at The Athletic. And I think it's important that we talk about it as much as possible. Maybe listeners could look this up if they haven't seen details already. But two NWSL players, so top flight of American women's football, spoke out to Meg Linehan about abuse that they'd received, allegedly at the hand of North Carolina Courage coach Paul Riley. He's not in his role any longer. And they talked about, as have many female footballers since, actually, sort of empowered by this, stories and allegations of sexual assault and abuse. It's caused a huge ripple effect in the US, and we're starting to see some of that here as well, actually. Ciara McCormack talking in The Guardian about her experiences with a high-profile coach in Canada. We've seen examples from Lisa Devanna, the former Australian international too. I should say that Paul Riley, the coach in question, completely denies the allegations. It's been a fantastic investigation by Meg Linehan, a real good piece of journalism, and there's been follow-up on the Athletic website too, so well worth looking at.
Yeah, that brings me on to any other business that I have as well, because that's been picked up with a video that's been going viral across the league in the 6 minute during their latest round of matches. We saw players going arm in arm into the centre circle, standing and just trying to bring attention to this cause. So Gotham against Washington Spirit was a game and a clip that you might see going around on social media, but it was really, really powerful. The only other thing I've got to say, girls, before we go about any other business is I won't be on the show next week because I'm getting married.
Yay!
So it will be my wedding next Thursday when you all convene without me.
You are allowed a day off, of course, wow, on your wedding day.
Thank you.
Have an amazing time, Lindsay. Maybe we could do something wedding related next week in your absence. We'll have a think.
I shall tune in.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, yes. Yeah, try not to tune in on the day, of course. So best of luck, Lindsay, for next week. Hayley, thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch up with you again next week. Have a good week in front
of the cameras.
And if you want to get in touch with us at Offside Raw Pod on socials, Offside Rule Podcast on the website, and you can check out all kinds of different and topical content on there as much as you wish. Do drop us a line on social media, by the way, if you're enjoying the show, and we'll give you a shout out. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Offside Rule, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Keep up to date with everything Offside at offsiderulepodcast.com and by following at Offside Rule Pod on Twitter and Insta. Check out all of The Athletic's football podcasts on Apple, Spotify, and all the usual places, or listen ad-free on the Athletic app. The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production.
The Athletic.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.